To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoy this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. Were there really pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus? Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I'm a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. The Master Yeshua is the exact imprint of God's substantive existence. He is the image of the invisible God. All the fullness of the deity dwells bodily in him. He is Adonai. Yeshua's two uncompromised natures, as fully God and fully man, as indicated in the scriptures, are distinct yet inseparable and indistinguishable. One nature neither conflicts with nor intermingles with the other, yet they both permeate and fill the single being that is the Messiah. Yet no matter how much we attempt to explain or whatever sense we think we can make of it, the full extent of Yeshua's total essence is ultimately unknowable and unfathomable. What God has done in the person of Yeshua, the divine dynamics that make up his eternal duality in oneness, defies language and thought and is truly beyond our ability to comprehend. And yet, attempt to comprehend is just what believers have sought to do for the last 2,000 years. And while it's good to desire to plumb the depths of the truth and reality of God, in Christian theology, rather than being satisfied with Scripture, rather than be content to live with the unresolved tension of a divine mystery, Christian theology has rationalized extra-biblical explanations of the inexplicable. The doctrine of the Trinity is one of them, trying to reduce the very non-reductive biblical truth of how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can all be God. I taught on the Trinity in the previous episode. And following from this oversimplification is the notion of appearances in the Old Testament of a human form pre-incarnate Jesus. And this is what I'd like to talk to you about today. Does a pre-incarnate human form Jesus really appear in the Old Testament? And what effect does such an idea have on the true nature and person of Yeshua? So what does pre-incarnate actually mean? Well, incarnate is just a fancy Latin word that means to make flesh, to be given a body. In biblical theology, this is a reference to how Yeshua came to be in the world, that he emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men, that he became flesh, that he was born a full-blooded, actual human being. That's what's meant by the incarnation, and it's plainly described in Scripture. Pre-incarnate, however, is the idea that before Yeshua took on a physical or bodily form, that he existed in a different state as the eternal Son of God within the Godhead. The New Testament, of course, never describes this state nor puts it in these terms. And as for a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, these are what theologians call a theophany, which means an appearance of God. This is where Jesus is said to have appeared in human form, but before he actually became flesh. The Trinitarian idea behind theophanies of Jesus, or Christophanies, is that God has always existed as the Trinity. Therefore, when God appears in the Old Testament in the form of a man, then that is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. That's the oversimplified theological thinking. Now, there are several instances that people often point to as obvious examples of theophanies. One of them is the man who wrestles with Jacob all night long in Genesis 32, 24 through 30, which says that Yaakov, Jacob, was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the ascending of the dawn. And the man saw that he had not prevailed against him, and he touched the hollow of the thigh of Yaakov, and the hollow of his thigh was disjointed in his wrestling with him. And the man said, "Send me away, for the dawn has ascended. And Yaakov said, I will not send you away until you have blessed me. And he said to him, What is your name? And he said, Yaakov. And he said, Your name will not still be called Yaakov, but Yisrael, for you have persevered with God and with men and prevailed. And Yaakov asked, and he said, Now declare your name. And he said, Why is this? You ask for my name? And he blessed him there. And Yaakov called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is delivered. So the scriptures say that this man that Jacob wrestled with was indeed God. The man told Jacob that his name would now be Israel, which means he perseveres or he struggles with God. And then Jacob names the place Peniel, because he believed that he had seen God face to face. So no question, the man was God. This is a so-called theophany. But what, besides God appearing as a man, would indicate that this was Jesus? Another famous example is from Daniel chapter 3, in which a mysterious man appears in the fiery furnace, beside the three men who refused to bow down to the Babylonian idol. In verses 23 through 25, it says, And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had fallen, bound in the midst of the furnace of burning fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king had been astonished and said to his counselors, Have we not thrown three men bound into the midst of the fire? Look, I am seeing four men, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no injury, and the appearance of the fourth is like for a son of the gods. So in this example, it doesn't say that God was the fourth man, but that the fourth man was like for a son of the gods. This has led some Christians to conclude that this is also a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, despite the fact that Nebuchadnezzar declared in verse 28 that God had sent his angel to deliver them. So if this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, does this mean that before his incarnation that Yeshua was an angel? Does that sound right to you? So again, beside the appearance of a fourth man in the furnace, what in the passage would definitively indicate that this man was Jesus? And the last example I'll give you is again from Genesis in chapter 18, where God appears to Abraham and interacts with him as a man. Beginning in verses 1 and 2, it says, And Adonai appeared to Abraham among the oaks of Mamre. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw three men standing nearby him. So Adonai appeared to Abraham, and Abraham saw three men. So Adonai is three men, or just a specific one of them. Then Abraham and God, as a man or as men, talk to each other for a while. And in verses 20 through 22, it says, And Adonai said, I go down now to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. And Abraham was still standing before the face of Adonai. And in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, And in the evening, two of the messengers came toward Sodom. So there were three men, and then Adonai said, I will go down to Sodom. And two of them left, but Abraham was still standing before Adonai. So in this passage, Adonai might have been three men who appeared to Abraham, two men who went down to Sodom, or one man who remained speaking to Abraham. It's not very clear, is it? The obvious question then is if this is an example of a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, then which one of these guys is supposed to be Jesus? And while we could potentially reason out that even though Adonai said he would go down to Sodom, and it later says that the two who went were messengers or angels, supposedly making the one who remained with Abraham, God, or Jesus, again, beside the fact that God is appearing as a man or as two men or three men, what would indicate that any of these were pre-incarnate Jesus? And the answer is nothing. There is no reason except to satisfy Trinitarian philosophy to read Yeshua into these verses. In the case of each one of these theophanies and every other theophany found in the Old Testament, not one of them plainly indicates any kind of pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Nor does the New Testament ever mention or allude to a single one of them. Not Jacob wrestling with God, not the fourth man in the furnace, not Adonai appearing to Abraham, none of them. The New Testament never even mentions them, much less use them to point to a pre-incarnate Jesus. So this doesn't so much disprove the idea of pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus as it demonstrates that there's nothing in the text to lend credence to the idea. I mean, do we think that God is so limited that we have to shove him in a box labeled Father, Son, or Holy Spirit everywhere we find him in the scriptures? Is God so limited that just because he appears as a man, or two men, or three men, then that appearance must be Jesus? Where's that concept in the Bible? Can't God just be God? So if there's nothing in the entire Bible to indicate that theophanies are anything more than that, appearances of God, that all someone can do is assume that certain theophanies are specifically pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus, then how do we square theophanies with what Yeshua himself said of his own pre-incarnate existence? How can there be pre-incarnate appearances of Yeshua when Yeshua himself explicitly tells us in John chapter 17, verse 5, "And now glorify me, Father, along with yourself, with the glory that I had with you before the world was"? Yeshua also mentions how he was previously in heaven in verses like John 6:38. "I have come down from the heaven, not so that I may do my will, but the will of him who sent me." And in John 6:62, he says of himself, "Then what if you see the Son of Man," meaning Yeshua, "going up to where he was before?" And finally, in John 8:58, Yeshua stated that he existed before Abraham, saying, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham became, I am." So Yeshua himself absolutely establishes his so-called pre-existence. He existed before Abraham, he was in heaven before being sent down to earth, and he was with the Father even before the creation of the world. All this speaks unequivocally to Yeshua's dual nature and his deity, that despite his present form as the man Yeshua, his eternal origins and nature as God are continuing uninterrupted. So the fact of what we would call Yeshua's pre-existence, that he existed before his birth, is true. But in what sense? How can a human being, regardless of divine nature, exist before he was born? How can a person who was born at a specific time in history, who was given a name by his parents, had a childhood, and a very specific set of life experiences, how can he also have a pre-incarnate existence? Because the problem is that even though Yeshua clearly says, "I have come down from heaven, I was before Abraham, I existed before the world," he also clearly didn't. Because there was a baby who was non-existent one moment and then conceived the next, who was born and who grew up and who lived and experienced a real human life just like ours. The obstacle to Yeshua's stated pre-existence is that the human who is Yeshua obviously didn't exist before he did. Otherwise, he wouldn't be fully a man who could sympathize with our weaknesses and die for our sins, as it says in Hebrews 2:14 and 17, "Seeing then that the children have shared in blood and flesh, he himself likewise shared of the same. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made like the brothers in all things." So how, on one hand, can Yeshua clearly say that he pre-existed himself, yet on the other hand, obviously didn't? How can both things be true? No, it's not because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That verse in Hebrews 13 has nothing to do with Yeshua's eternal nature. They can both be true because Yeshua's words throughout the book of John have already been established by the context of John's first two verses, where he says so magnificently, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one was in the beginning with God." And in verse 14, John tells us what then happened to that Word. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word became Yeshua. So when Yeshua says that he had glory with the Father before the world was, this is what he was talking about. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with and was God. And then, by the Holy Spirit, the Word became flesh. As both fully God and fully man, Yeshua is simultaneously the Word made flesh and man born of a woman. But before being born, there was no Yeshua. There was no pre-incarnate Jesus or Christ. The one who was pre-incarnate, if we want to use that terminology, was the Word, who then became flesh, who became Yeshua, and dwelt among us. Do you get that distinction? The one who was pre-incarnate wasn't the man Yeshua, but the Word. We need to understand that there's a difference between the Word and Yeshua. They're not the exact same thing. The Word has existed forever, while the man Yeshua, the Word made flesh, came into existence 2,000 years ago. I mean, was Yeshua born or wasn't he? Was his birth human or not? Was it real or not? It was. Before Yeshua was born, there was no such thing in the universe as a being who was both fully God and fully man. In the beginning, the Word was just God. Then, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, having come from a woman. The Word became flesh. So it's incorrect to equivocate and say that Jesus, implying the man Jesus, pre-existed himself. The only sense in which Yeshua had a pre-existence, which he himself alludes to, is that he is the Word made flesh, and it was the Word that preceded everything as and with God. There was no Yeshua, there was no Christ or Messiah before the Word became flesh and all the fullness of the deity came to dwell bodily in him. So if human form theophanies, appearances of God, aren't pre-incarnate appearances of Yeshua, then what are they? Well, first of all, they're exactly what they say they are, God appearing to humanity. And we should resist the urge to dissect and categorize that along Trinitarian lines, going beyond what the scriptures literally say. And second, as it relates to Yeshua, they aren't appearances of him, but instead foreshadow his coming. Human form theophanies mean that God, whenever he so chooses, can appear in human form. So since God has created human beings and can then choose to appear as a human himself, then it's not a stretch to believe that God can also choose to be a human being, all without giving up an ounce of his deity. And become human is exactly what he did, while offering us no explanation for how it was accomplished or how his uncompromised godness is sustained. The Word who was with God and who was God became Yeshua, now fully man and fully God. So aside from the obvious problem for pre-incarnate appearances of Yeshua, that they're a product of Trinitarian thought that exceeds the teaching of Scripture, what's the harm in believing that such theophanies are Jesus? Why does it matter? Well, there are at least two reasons. The first is that it undermines the incarnation, the occurrence of the Word becoming flesh. Yeshua emptied himself. He set aside equality with God to become a man, Philippians 3, 6, and 7. It was a unique, spectacular, one-time event, and before that moment, there was no human being in the history of the universe who was also God. But a pre-incarnate Jesus says that he was always human, or at least human-like. It gives the impression that the Word of God was always a man, which is false. Yes, the writers of the New Covenant Scriptures point to Yeshua's pre-existence as foundational to establishing his deity. But pre-existence doesn't require proof in the form of a pre-birth human appearance. On the contrary, appearing as a human doesn't support the idea that he's God. By trying to force everything about God into a Trinitarian formula, it ends up giving Yeshua flesh before the incarnation. So at best, it confuses and de-emphasizes the mystery of the incarnation. At worst, it denies Yeshua's true, full, and complete humanity. Yeshua the man has never not also been God. But that doesn't mean that Yeshua the man needs to have always existed in some form, which is what pre-incarnate appearances imply. It's enough that God, the Word, became flesh. Adding pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus to that only serves to minimize its impact. So that's the first reason why believing in a pre-incarnate Jesus is a problem. The second reason this matters is because a pre-incarnate Jesus unnecessarily and further strains our claims to having a monotheistic faith, that as the scriptures maintain, God is one. Yeshua's own legitimate claim to deity is more than enough for some to call our profession to monotheism a sham, especially in the eyes of Jewish people who know the Shema by heart. So the idea of a pre-incarnate Jesus just makes the claim to monotheism even harder to maintain, and unnecessarily so. How? Well, it strains Scripture, it ignores Scripture, and it conflates Scripture. By forcing every human form theophany into the second person of the Godhead, downplaying Yeshua's full humanity, and equivocating or conflating facts about Yeshua the human being with facts about the Word become flesh, it takes the already problematic doctrine and philosophy of the Trinity to an anti-monotheistic extreme. By going to such lengths, by rationalizing and philosophizing beyond Scripture, to maintain the image of the man Jesus before his becoming flesh, convolutes an already perplexing biblical truth and needlessly sets itself against one of the most fundamental facts of the oneness of God. Assuming or insisting upon pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus makes our claim to monotheistic beliefs that much more untenable. If we truly want to see Yeshua in the Old Testament, God the Word in action, we need look no further than the first chapter of Genesis. He was there at the beginning, speaking creation into existence. As it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let light be," and light was. And in John chapter 1, which is clearly intended to mirror in the beginning, it says in verse 3, "All things happened through him, and without him, not even one thing happened that has happened." And as for actual appearances of Yeshua, there are none of men, but there is a rock. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, of how the Israelites drank water in the desert, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking of a spiritual rock that was following them. And the rock was the Messiah. The sense in which Yeshua pre-existed the incarnation doesn't mean he would appear in human form before he was born, but is true in the sense that he is the Word made flesh, and it was the Word that preceded everything with and as God. We don't need doctrines and philosophies to explain the inexplicable. We just have to take God at his word and believe whatever he says. Because Yeshua's deity isn't proven to us by pre-incarnate human form appearances. Who he is, both fully God and fully man, is proven to us by what he did when he saved us from our sins. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.